There have been huge strides in accessibility in gaming over the last few years, just not for Spyro. Plus, blockchain has finally come to consoles, and nobody can explain why. Tonight is November 25th, 2018, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwell.
What's up? Are you stuffed? I'm still stuffed. I'm like 75% turkey and dressing. It's dressing because it wasn't in the turkey. If it's in the turkey, it's called stuffing. But we had dressing with the turkey. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Not a Food episode of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here at the Voice of Geeks Network, welcome. Head on over to our chat room, live.vognetwork.com. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. And if you're logged into the site, you can check in and get some points on the leaderboard, just like SSJ100 Matt and Tiger Claw. They checked in at some point during the intro to the show. Thank you so much for being here, and thank you for everybody who's going to be here. I think the countdown clock is, three episodes for the radio feed. So if you're kind of keeping track of when that might happen, when we are changing the live format to go from being just radio to being video on Twitch, I think right now we're kind of estimating in 3 weeks. So two more weeks here. At the Voice of Geeks Network, but that number could also change. It could go further. It could be 2019. So don't hold us to that. But I know some people are asking and wondering. We're making a lot of good progress behind the scenes on the Switch. The podcast, it's still going to be an audio podcast. So I'm going to be very cognizant of that and not do too much stuff that requires video. That is going to be happening. But right now and next week, we will be here at the Voice of Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com, on the internet radio feeds that you can get through TuneIn or on your Google Home or on your Alexa device or whatever you're using to listen. That will all still work for the next couple weeks for the live show on Sundays at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. Or if you're listening to the podcast feed, there's a passphrase you can put in. And there's a passphrase that will rudely interrupt the show. You can go to the site and put that in and get counted just as much as the live folks that come in each and every week. A little bit later on, I am going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. The Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show. That is all one word. Or you can call toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Or you can comment on an episode over at VogNetwork.com or comment on our Discord channel. You can get an invite to our Discord server. It's free and open to everybody. But Discord requires you have an invite. So we have an open invite. All you got to do is go to VogNetwork.com/Discord. And you'll automatically get the invite. It'll add it to your current Discord list. Remember, you can only be in 100 Discords. So I think that's the maximum amount of servers. So, we won't be offended. But we have it's a chill server. It's pretty lax. We don't spam at everyone and stuff like that. So we hope you if you're in 100 Discords, we hope that you consider us to be one of them. And one of the people that's in our Discord that doesn't listen live because he is over in Europe, and this is very late for him, is Bull. And he did he just wanted to apologize. I read a comment from him last week, and it came across differently than he intended. And even I kind of noticed as I was reading it that it was a little different. But he was regards to E3. And how gaming media, what is gaming media anyway? And I kind of said, oh, you're talking about me. And he said he wasn't. So I appreciate that. You can go to our Discord to read his response in the Bobby Blackwell Show channel. There are also other channels for like Orange Lounge Radio and Shaking and Crying and Anime Jam Session and other great shows here at Vogue Network. And that's not changing. The podcast network itself is not changing. With all this, we're still going to be your home for great audio podcast about all things geek culture. So the first thing I wanted to do was I wanted to congratulate a friend of the show, and I'm not going to – don't ask me to get step back into this fray, but congratulations to friend of the show. He loves me, Mr. Billy Mitchell, and he reached his original record. What he's been doing recently, so Billy Mitchell, I guess people would say disgraced Donkey Kong champion, first person to reach, get a perfect score in Pac-Man, video game player of the century. We actually have a bumper from him, which I haven't played in a while. But he got accused of cheating, and Twin Galaxies stated that he cheated, so they've banned him. They've removed all his records, banned him from submitting again. He is the reason I can say that I've been seen in Variety magazine. thank you, Billy. He has been going on Twitch and basically with an actual and following all the Twin Galaxies submissions things of showing the motherboard and doing all the stuff. And he's been playing Donkey Kong. And he finally, this week, broke or got to basically what he's been doing is been getting to a score and stopping. He finally got to the score 1,050,100, which is the score, the disputed score that they said never happened. Twin Galaxies claimed that score was not achievable by him. It had to be in an emulator. And he achieved that score on Twitch, on a live stream on Twitch, and then showed the motherboard and did all that stuff, did everything that he's supposed to do as if it was a Twin Galaxy submission. It's not a record. The record is still by Robbie Lakeman's 1,247,700 score. But Billy Mitchell basically proved on stream, if you believe his stream, which, you know, it's there, it's uncut, it was live streamed, he basically proved, yes, he is capable of achieving the score that everybody thought he faked. He did tweet. He said, quote, "Now that I've now matched both of the scores that were supposedly investigated, I'm not sure what these haters will say at this point. Haters will see you walk on water and say it's because you can't swim," unquote. So he and Breakman in chat says he needs to stop play till you lose. He actually talked to me about this when I was part of when I was the quote unquote moderator. Bodyguard or whatever for the panel at Southern Fried Gaming Expo this summer. And he basically said, you know, he's not going to do that. He's basically going to get to a point and stop. What he was doing initially is he was literally like timing it so he would not get 1 point over 1 million and then he would just walk away from the machine. And he did that multiple times. And I think it's just because he's Billy Mitchell and that's why. Like, and that's what he told me. And stuff. So, So he's got a Twitch channel, Billy Mitchell, and his Twitter handle is Billy Pac-Man, and it is him. So, those are official Twitters. Somebody actually asked me, "What does this mean?" Like in the long term, and it really doesn't mean anything in the high score community, I don't think, because Twin Galaxies is never going to let him back in. Twin Galaxies basically is working on getting rid of the old guard. And getting rid of a lot of the people that they see as problematic from the 80s and the 90s when Twin Galaxies was a little more good old boy network. The current administration is not going to let him back in. And he can do this till he's blue in the face. They're not going to accept his submission anymore. So I think he's basically just doing it so he can prove, look, I didn't cheat. You know, they can claim I did, but I can do this without cheating. And so, you know, what else are you going to say at that point? A lot of people will say he's faking the live footage, and I don't think he would, but I also don't know him all that well. I've basically just sat next to him as he spoken for an hour, and that's kind of my claim to fame. So, and Breakman's asked, has anybody tried his hot sauce? I actually have two bottles of it downstairs. My wife, I don't use hot sauce. My wife says it's okay. She does the hot sauce, but we actually have an open bottle and an unopened bottle just because we haven't finished the first open bottle of his hot sauce. But, yeah. Tackerclaw asks, can you talk to the Guinness Book of World Records about the score? Sure he could. Here's the thing. Guinness Book of World Records uses Twin Galaxies for their scores. So, basically, Guinness Book of World Records does not actually do their own video game high score list, they basically say Twin Galaxies is the Guinness Book of World Records arm of video game high scores. So, sure, he could talk to them, and they'll be like, yeah, you should go talk to this group called Twin Galaxies. Dareclaw says he's somebody who deserves a second chance, and he proved it. I think he's using his second chance. It's just, will people accept his second chance? Dungeon Buster says, I've turned into a few of his Twitch streams. They're infrequent, but he's been putting in the work. Yeah, I think it's like it's in his kitchen. He's got a Donkey Kong cabinet in his kitchen, and what he does is he'll play. And then every time when he's done, they basically take the camera around the back, put in, put a flashlight on the motherboard. They show you the serial number of the motherboard, and they show you everything there, and which is exactly what Twin Galaxies requires you to do when you submit a arcade cabinet high score. They want to see the hardware that you're playing on. So congratulations to him. For making that score again, and doing it where people can actually watch on their own. He basically claims that the tapes that have been scrutinized were not his tapes. That's why I didn't ask that many questions at Southern Fried Gaming Expo. So if you've read that article or seen the video, that's why. It's because when he says those aren't his tapes, there's no point in me asking about girder fingers and, you know, redraw distance and stuff like that, because if they're not his tapes, that's the same answer for everything. So, Tiger Claw says, it sounds like Twin Galaxies is no longer relevant. They're the Guinness Book of World Records arm for video game high scores. They're pretty relevant. I hate to say it. They're pretty relevant. So, let's go into some of the news. This first news story that I wanted to talk about was actually something that was on the show roll last week, and I thought it was pretty important, so I kind of carried it over to this week. Because this was a holiday weekend here in the U.S., so not too much news happened, big news happened this week. But PlayStation Lifestyle reports that folks over at Game Pit, which the reason I'm not referencing Game Pit themselves is because their website went down when this came out, recently noticed that the Spyro Reignited Trilogy is missing subtitles during crucial story cutscenes, as noted by writer Rob Pitt. Subtitles when talking to NPCs in Spyro 2 and 3, they're there, but they're nowhere to be found during the cutscenes. If you're one of those who rely on subtitles, this is a noticeable omission and one that prompted the website to contact Activision. The publisher said in response that Toys for Bob had to make certain decisions when developing the collection, but that Activision cares about accessibility and will evaluate going forward, indicating that we may see subtitles added via a patch in the future. That's not actually what they said. But the full statement here is, quote, when Toys for Bob set out to make an awesome game collection, there were certain decisions that needed to be made throughout the process. The team remained committed to keep the integrity and legacy of the Spyro that fans remembered intact. The game was built from the ground up using a new engine for the team, Unreal 4, and was localized in languages that had not been previously attempted by the studio. While there's no industry standard for subtitles, the studio and Activision care about the fans' experience, especially with respect to accessibility for people with different abilities, and will evaluate going forward, unquote. So they're not saying they're going to add it into a patch. But what is kind of interesting about this is they had to make certain decisions, and so that's why there are no subtitles. Now, what they'll actually tell you is if you look, the original Spyro game on PlayStation 1, that's not on the PlayStation Classic, by the way, doesn't have subtitles in the cutscenes. They don't have it. Spyro 2 and 3 did have certain subtitles, and what basically happened here is for this collection, they maintained what was available originally. And they basically, and I've heard other developers say that. Toys for Bob did not say this next thing I'm about to say, but I did hear other people that have done remasters and remakes that said, we are preserving the exact experience, we're just upping the graphics. And so there were no subtitles in the original game, so we are not putting subtitles in our game. That was not what Toys for Bob said about this, that was what another developer said when they remade an older game that didn't have subtitles and did not bring in 2018 accessibility. And this is my point here, is that it's 2018. Okay, yes, in 1998 or whenever Spyro came out, it was somewhere in the 90s, there weren't that many subtitles. Accessibility wasn't a huge thing, but it is now. And it's not just for people who are hard of hearing, but a lot of streamers put on the subtitles because they're going to be talking, and they don't want to necessarily have people who want to see the story or read the story or whatever. They don't want them to feel left out by, you know, not being able to hear all the subtitles. Sometimes I'll even turn subtitles on, especially if there's like a character that has a very thick accent that's not an accent that I'm used to hearing. So I will turn on the subtitles so I could kind of, you know, so I could use it with what I'm hearing to piece together what they're saying. And sometimes I'll even, they even add like bits of dialogue that are kind of said off camera, you know, kind of yelled, you know, yelled out at different times, but they'll still include it in the subtitles. So you get a little bit more context sometimes with subtitles. Like, I think Red Dead Redemption 2 is like that, where you, I actually hear more, I can comprehend more of the dialogue from the subtitles than I can just by hearing it, because sometimes it's multiple characters talking at the same time. But they're basically saying they had to make some certain decisions, and they had to, they basically, they were committed to bringing the original experience up, but they created a brand new engine. So there was nothing stopping them from also remastering the subtitles into the game. There's nothing stopping them from doing that. But they decided that it just wasn't worth it. It was not worth their time. And Dunderbuss says, I turn on subs as well because sometimes the vocals can be hard to hear over some of the background noise in-game. And also, some people, you know, have their own music playing. A lot of people will use something like Spotify, which, by the way, this podcast is now on Spotify. They'll use Spotify to play in-game music over the in-game soundtrack and stuff, and maybe they won't be able to hear, if they're playing songs that have lyrics in them, you probably won't be able to hear the characters because it won't turn off your own in-game music. You know, and Breakman even says, or even over real-life noise. Families fighting in the background. I don't know. I mean, it was Thanksgiving weekend here, so that probably happened. Didn't happen for me. Hope it didn't happen for you. But I think that, you know, one of the things, you can't just remaster the graphics. You also have to remaster the experience. You have to remaster the accessibility options. They changed the control scheme. They definitely had time to change the control. The main control scheme that you start off with in Spyro is not the same one that shipped on PlayStation 1. They modified the control scheme, but they couldn't modify and add subtitles, even though they had to localize in languages that were never localized before, I guess. I don't know if that was the studio that had never localized those languages, or if they localized Spyro into a language it wasn't localized into before, mainly for the European market. But they could have done it. And I'm not saying it's an easy thing to add. It's not. I know enough about programming that something like that is not a trivial task. Because then you also have to have somebody that needs to go in and, you know, type out all the subtitles. So you need your transcriber. But then you also need to have a whole QA process to make sure that the subtitles start and stop at the right time for each of the cutscenes. And it does add a lot more time than you think to do it. And they need to make sure that all the subtitles fit. They're readable. There's no one set of subtitles that's longer than and trails off the screen. There's a lot of things you got to think about when you're adding a subtitle thing. So I'm not going to sit here and say it's easy for them to add or it was quick for them to add, because it's not. But it's an important thing to add. Just like modifying the controls to be more like a current-day control scheme, which is what they did, that was also important to add. Breakman says, it's nice to have subtitles when you need to have the volume off for a sleeping toddler or an angry girlfriend or something like that. He says he lives by a train station. He has to use subtitles sometimes. I see. Places that you don't, you know, you may not live near a train station, but other people do. And it's really loud. You may live, some other people live near airports, unfortunately. They can get out of town really quickly. That's a good thing about that. There are actually some standards, and what's interesting is Activision is usually a really good company when it comes to accessibility and, you know, button remapping and stuff like that. And Sony also, which, I mean, Spyro is not a Sony game, but it felt like it for a while because it was on the PlayStation only for a while. But, you know, like Spider-Man has a whole bunch of accessibility options, and it's getting to be more and more common to have a whole accessibility menu in a lot of the big games today. And even in some smaller games, you know, even just colorblind mode is a big thing that you can turn on. And, you know, Tetris Effect, you know, a game that I talked about a lot recently actually has modes that turn down the epilepsy stuff, the stuff that would cause epilepsy. So it's like you can turn down or off the strobing. You can, you know, minimize like some of the different color changes and stuff like that. So you can actually tailor it to be something that's not as painful for some people. So this is 2018. And I understand that Spyro originally came out in 1998, but just because there were no subtitles in 1998 doesn't mean that the remastered version shouldn't have subtitles in 2018. And Dunderbuss says, that's very true with the accessibility options offered today. The audience is much larger now than it was when Spyro first came out. We've got a huge, bigger market, as will be evidenced by how many people don't buy the PlayStation Classic when it comes out next week. Dark Tetsuya says, one of the Twitch streamers I watch during the week, he has epilepsy, so sometimes they're playing a lot of the retro stuff. They try to cover up the flashing the best they can for anyone else that might be affected. There's actually I don't follow this person anymore, but there's actually an independent game reviewer. She goes by the name Indie Game Chick, and she has, like, massive epilepsy. Like, she has a very extreme case of it. I actually did see a comment from her. I think it was like on Twitter or something. She was responding to a thread when this was all going on a week and a half ago. And she actually talks about the fact that she can't play VR. You know, she just can't, because that would trigger, like, there is so many more things that would trigger her epilepsy with having a screen 3 inches away from her face. But she also says that she accepts that she's not going to be able to play every single game. And this is a hard thing for me to talk about as well, because I also believe that we don't – like, I like having accessibility options that are like this. I want – you know, I like having an easy mode, an optional easy mode. I like having subtitles. I like having, you know, ways that you can, you know, change the graphics so, like, there's less strobing and stuff like that. Totally cool with that. Totally cool with button remapping and all that stuff. But especially because I do a lot of VR stuff. And hearing there was actually a push against having VR developers make games that required you to use your hands. And they were actually, like, because it was when Oculus was announced the Oculus Touch, there was a huge, and it was I think it was Able Gamers, which they do great work. But I disagreed with them on this fundamental thing, because they're like, no, you shouldn't make games that require you to have two hands, because not every gamer has two hands. And others were like, you shouldn't make games that require you to move your head. And these are VR games. They're like, and I actually had a conversation. And I basically said, so what if it destroys the entire motif of your game to do that? Then they actually said, well, then maybe you need to think of a different game. I disagree with that. I disagree with that line of thinking. And so actually did Indie Gamer Chick. She basically said, not every game is going to be playable by every single person. It's great that more games are playable by other people, but there are going to be games, and there should be games, that aren't playable by everybody. If a great game idea somebody makes, and it does require you to be in VR with two hands, and they don't want to diminish it by making you, you know, be able to do it with button presses, because it would totally ruin, you know, the game design that they're going for, I think they should still be able to make that game. I think they should still make that game and just accept the fact that not everybody is going to be able to play it and be able to physically play it. I do know places like Able Gamers disagree with me on that. Able Gamers still does great work, and I apologize that I'm naming them out, but I mean, I've donated to them. I will still continue to donate them. We just have a little difference of opinion there. So it's kind of like, where's the line? Like, where should we force the accessibility to be? And I think subtitles are a good thing. Even in VR, I think subtitles are a good thing. And it's 10 times harder to do subtitles in VR. Breakman says, every game should have a Bobby Blackwolf mode. Every game should be playable for the people spending money on the product, even if they are bad in gaming. And see, that's where I also disagree. I don't think Dark Souls should have a Bobby Blackwolf mode. I will never play Dark Souls. I am totally fine with the fact that I will never play Dark Souls. I do not want that game to be catered down to, you know, I don't want them to dumb the game down for me. The whole point of Dark Souls is that it is unforgiving. It is difficult. So I disagree with you there. Like, if I should not be able to beat Dark Souls just because I paid $60 for Dark Souls, which I didn't. I never have. I think I have a Dark Souls game, but it was like it was one of the games for gold on the Xbox 360, and so that's how I have Dark Souls. Never booted it up. SJ Wonder Matt says, I can agree with what I was saying. One of the many reasons why spoofers spoof themselves in Pokemon Go is because maybe some people can't leave their house to play, and Niantic shouldn't constrict people, thus giving them a right to spoof. I can understand that, and it's unfortunate that some people can't enjoy the game, but the point of the game is going outside and exploring places. I mean, I'm kind of in the same way, and it's not that I can't get out. I just don't. I'm gonna out myself right now. I literally have not left my house in over a week. Haven't had to. We had my family actually all came over to our house for Thanksgiving. So, last Sunday I went out, and that was the grocery shopping trip to get all the stuff I needed. But I literally, like, other than to, like, go out and get the mail and take the trash out and bring it back in, I haven't left my property in a week. Which means I don't get to play Pokemon Go. Because I have too many items, so I can't open gifts right now. Maybe, like, one Pokemon spawns an hour by my house. And I'm okay with that. Like, I'm not going to go and spoof just because I haven't left the house. And if you're wondering, Bobby, didn't you go to work? I work from home. So I was working a lot earlier in the week, too, which is why I went shopping on Sunday so I could, concentrate on working for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's kind of a double-edged sword for me on this accessibility thing, because on one hand, I agree with this article that is saying that subtitles should be in Spyro, because I think that is a bare minimum that we should be doing. And maybe we do need some industry standards. It's just who's going to do it? Because there are standards that exist. I think Able Gamers even has kind of accessibility standards that they provide. But nobody's going to listen to an industry standard. I mean, unless maybe the ESRB comes out with accessibility standards. I don't know. I don't know who they want the standards to be. But other Activision titles are great at standardized accessibility. Call of Duty, Black Ops 4, whatever. Yeah, this Black Ops 4 is what's on right now. It has subtitles for everything. But I also don't think that every game is going to be playable by every person. And I don't think they should be, because that's the whole point of different games. And especially with as many games as come out now, it's not like you're at a loss for gaming. And that does include difficulty. I don't think every game needs to have a mode that I can play it. You want to know what? If I can't play a game like Dark Souls, you want to know what I do? I don't play Dark Souls and I play something else. And that's totally fine. Because I know that there are people out there that are upset when an easy mode is in the game, because that meant that resources and development time and QA time went into that easy mode when it could have gone into making a more difficult challenge for people who get good. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase Gateway. Moving on. One other story I want to talk about, because this just blows my mind. I don't understand this. Somebody actually tried to explain it to me, and I'm going to talk about what they explain, but also with the caveat that they are very, very into this technology. But Sludgefeed reports that the relatively new blockchain gaming industry, ooh, every venture capitalist out there, just their ears perked up. They're like, whoop, blockchain? The blockchain gaming industry is about to take a massive step forward as non-fungible tokens, or NFTs, are making their way onto the PlayStation 4. Arcade Distillery, a game developer that creates titles for PlayStation Vita, RIP, PS4 and Xbox One and Nintendo Switch, is gearing up to launch a new game for the PS4 built around the Ethereum blockchain. Plague Hunters is a single-player-focused turn-based strategy RPG with some PvP elements and the sequel to the successful Plague Road. The game, which will be free-to-play and feature a marketplace for peer-to-peer transactions, has passed the Sony review process, passing all of PlayStation's terms and conditions, despite containing numerous elements of blockchain technology. This marks the first time any blockchain game has been able to accomplish this feat. Similar to other blockchain games, it looks like Plague Hunter's in-game assets, including units, weapons, and other items, will be pegged to NFTs. It says, quote, build your army of hunters, train them, and prepare them for battle. Trade your hunters on the blockchain-based marketplace with other players, unquote. That's the description on the Arcade Distillery website. So if you are like me, mostly, and you don't understand blockchain, and you don't understand cryptocurrency or anything like that. I'm not going to claim to be an expert on blockchain or cryptocurrency or anything like that. But this is Bitcoin is built on top of the same technology. So that's probably the term you've heard if you've never heard of the words blockchain. You've probably heard of Bitcoin. And it's basically it's a decentralized money trading post. And blockchain is the technology underneath that where no single computer has the entire what they call a ledger. So it's like I wanted to use an analogy of your checkbook. But then I realized most people here don't have checkbooks. And if they did, they're old. So I can't use that. But back in the old days, I'm actually going to try to explain it. So back in the old days, about 20, 30, 40 years ago, we wrote checks for everything because we didn't all live off credit cards. And what you would do is you would write a check and then you would go to the ledger part of your checkbook and you would say, I paid this and on this date, and you would put the money in there and you would put how much you put. And then you would do the math and say, here's how much money I have left. And then you would get your bank statement and you would balance your checkbook. You would balance the ledger every month. And that was what we did before computers came along and we had, debit cards and the website did all that for us and we didn't deal with that anymore. So what blockchain does is it takes that ledger. Instead of being in your checkbook, it is now everybody's ledger. And that means that you can't fake the data. You can't fake the data. Nobody else can fake the data. It is a distributed ledger that every computer has a piece of, and thereby there is no central place that can get hacked or compromised. That is the very, very basic, like blockchain, not even blockchain 101, because blockchain 101 goes into a little bit more detail than that. So it's essentially distributed trust. If I don't trust you, you don't trust me, and there is no third party that we mutually trust, like a bank, for instance, then a blockchain is useful because it allows a publicly authenticated transaction. So that's kind of the whole point, is that the public, everybody is authenticating this transaction, not just your bank. But for this game, blockchain's pointless because there is a centralized authority we trust. It's called Arcade Distillery. And there is literally nothing that this adds that a simple database on their side would add. Maybe, and so when I posted this on Twitter, and somebody who actually contacted me about it responded to me, he actually is writing his own cryptocurrency. He's part of a group that's writing their own cryptocurrency. So he is all blockchain all the time. And he basically explained to me, he's like, no, this is the new hot new thing. And it's so people can sell their in-game items out in the open. They don't need the game company to be there to sell their in-game items. And he said, in 5 or 10 years, we're going to be laughing at games that don't allow you to do this as being ancient. And I responded, I'm like, yeah, just like how I'm waiting on everybody to be laughing for games for being ancient by not allowing me to wait, physically swing a sword instead of hit a button. Motion gaming didn't take off as much as I kind of enjoy it. And I mean, it's still in VR, but we talked about accessibility earlier, right? But that's where they're saying, and a lot of people that are in blockchain, they are very blinded to the rest of the world, which I can be too. I mean, go back and listen to my podcast about VR when the Oculus Rift came out. And you want to talk about somebody who had blinders to the outside world? Hi, how you doing? Dungeon Buster says, every time a transaction made is tracked by the blockchain anonymously. That's the allure of all these Bitcoins. Unfortunately, it also makes hugely appealing to criminal organizations. The problem is that the item is only good for that game unless they plan to distribute it to other platforms and then get them on the same page. So really, blockchain doesn't make sense here because it's just a lot of overhead. It could be quicker, leaner, faster if they just used a database like, and I know everybody hated the item store on Diablo, but basically that's what Blizzard did, is they were the central authority. They were the trusted central authority, and you basically said, do I trust them? Yes or no, and if you did, then you used their item marketplace, which I think is gone now. But that's what they did. That's what this is, except instead of just making it fast, lean, and optimized, they're using blockchain for blockchain's sake for their own game. Because, as Dungeon Buster pointed out, it's not like you can use these in any other game. Dungeon Bus says, it's nuts. There was a dev in my Twitter feed that explained why blockchain is not a great idea. It's a quote, so is that Unreal asset on the blockchain compatible with this other game made in Unity and using a different platform, unquote. No, because it's actually the in-game, it's the in-game item. It's like, you know, the levels and all that stuff. It'd be like, it's like when you trade Pokemon, okay, each Pokemon has an ID in Pokemon in Let's Go. Pokemon, if you notice, there's an ID, and in Pokemon Go. And when you trade them through the Pokemon servers. That's how you do it. This would add, they would basically be saying, well, in this scenario, why can't you just use blockchain to trade Pokemon? Which would actually make it much more difficult to spoof and maybe duplicate Pokemon and do any the dupe tricks and stuff that happen. But, you know, maybe at that point, then they could say, but all the Pokemon games are going to use the same blockchain. So any Pokemon that you catch and you have a blockchain asset for, you can put into other games and trade them into other games. But Nintendo's smart enough not to go down that route. We make fun of Nintendo for not taking online seriously. This is one thing that I think they'll be right to stay away from. We're going to take Wigmy's break. And then maybe somebody will call in and explain to me blockchain and why it's necessary for this. For this game, other than the fact that they probably got a lot of venture capitalist money by doing blockchain. And I will say, every like GDC, the buzzword this year was putting blockchain in your games, a game developer conference this year. And nobody could explain why, other than it's the hot new technology you needed. We're going to take a music break because guess what? Me resting my voice for a couple minutes, that's the hot new technology. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
This is Billy Mitchell, Video Game Player of the Century, and I'm participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show.
Can I unretire that bumper? I pulled it out of the trunk, the locked trunk in the attic, because I was like, he got his scores out. His scores were thrown out, and so I'm like, I'm never going to be able to play this bumper again because he's not. And I pulled it out of the depths because he proved it on Twitch, and it's not going to really change anything, but I pulled back the bumper. Because now I can play the bumper again because he's hit his scores on Twitch, and you can believe him or not, but it's there, and you can make your own conclusion. If you want to leave a bumper, you do not have to be on any video game high score list, even ones in your house on your own video game consoles. All you got to do is send me an MP3 with just your voice to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com, or you can leave a voicemail on the toll-free number. So one of the things that I wanted to remember this, and I think it's still going on. I think it's going on until November 29th, but somebody can let me know. Since we are moving the live shows to Twitch in the next couple weeks, I think three more episodes left, 3 weeks. One thing I did want to point out is that if you are interested in getting bits, which is the way that you can, it's basically a tip jar for any streamer that's an affiliate or partner. They are actually running a promotion right now where you can get 2,500 bits for $25. Now, the reason that I'm kind of mentioning that as a big deal is because that basically that is exactly what it is to the streamer. So when you cheer 5 bits to a streamer, that's a nickel. The streamer sees a nickel. Now, 100 bits is not $1 to you. Twitch takes their cut from you. So you can buy 100 bits, but I think it's like $1.99 or $1.50 or something like that. Basically, Twitch takes a cut, and they take it from you. But 2,500 bits for $25 means Twitch is not taking their cut of the bits. So you can get those now and basically save 2,500 bits and then just kind of dole them out a little bit on streamers you like. I believe that's just in the U.S. as well. So go ahead, and then you're also going to get an additional email with 200 bits on the 29th, I think. So you can either use that code for yourself or give it to someone else. But that's essentially free money. Those are free bits that nobody's paying for. Twitch isn't getting any money for it. You don't have to pay for it, and it just goes straight to the streamer. So that is, if you're looking to get some bits and you don't want to get raked over the coals, that's a one-to-one, and you're not going to see that deal all that often. So you can only buy it once. You can't buy, like, a bunch of sets of 2,500. You only get it once per account. But go ahead and do that because we are moving to Twitch now. When we make that move to Twitch, we're not going to be an affiliate yet because the Fog Network, we're going to be moving to the Fog Network channel, which actually hasn't been used at all. So we've got to actually get the – we might already have the 50 followers. I don't know, but we got to get the 50 followers. We got to get the 7 days streamed in a 30-day period. We've got to get at least 3 concurrent viewers during all those streams. And then we'll be able to accept bits and subscriptions and stuff like that. So it's, you can still get them and hang on to them. Do that. Rob says the money is coming from all those ads that even Prime subscribers have to sit through now. That's true. But if you subscribe to a channel, you don't get ads. So I don't get to have to see any ads on Rob Roberts' channel because I throw him $5 a month or $6 a month, whatever it is. 29 followers on the Vlog Network channel, 21 to go. But if you haven't followed yet, you might want to wait for us to be actually doing a show live and then follow while we're on the air. Think about that. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free North America. I'm going to open up the phones for just a little bit, see what anybody's going on. Orange Lounge Radio is back tonight, so we will be checking with them, but not right this minute, just in case somebody wants to call in. Or we can talk about more things going on in chat. One of the great things I'm looking forward to later next month is December 7th is going to be a huge day for gaming because Katamari Damacy re-roll's coming out, obviously. And there was actually another game I was like, ooh, maybe I want to get that game too that was coming out on that day. And I wanted it so badly, I don't even remember what it was now. But Super Smash Bros. Ultimate came out, and Hacker's Gonna Hack. It's been leaked. It's been data mined. I've been able to hear some of the soundtrack because there's 700 or 900 tracks in the game or something like that, and people started uploading them to YouTube. They're gone now. Nintendo copyright struck and, you know, shut down channels and all that stuff because the game's not out yet. But I am looking forward to that soundtrack. Looking forward to it. And also kind of looking forward to the quote-unquote single-player campaign and seeing how that is. Yes, I know it's not co-op. You can't co-op the single-player campaign, the World of Light. But I don't really need to. So I'm looking forward to it. I have my copy ordered from Best Buy because I'm still the Gamers Unlimited, and they may have a midnight launch. That way I get a physical copy, physical cartridge, especially because we have two Switches in the house. So it's actually real easy. It's better for us to get physical now because then both me and my wife can play the game on our own Switch. That's why we only have one copy of Pokemon Let's Go, but right now it's in her Switch because I'm doing this right now. Breakman says 700? Yeah, it's like 700 or 9. I can't remember if it's 700 or 900, but it's some like astronomically big number because they have all the tracks from the original games and then all the new remixes. So it basically Super Smash Bros. Brawl has several hundred in. I think it's 300 or 400 in Brawl. The music is the thing I'm looking forward to the most, more than the game itself. Breakman says, how are they going to fit all that content onto one disc? So, well, A, Switch doesn't use discs, so it's going to be all in the cartridge. But I think the soundtrack, like the official soundtrack in Japan that had all of them, they actually distributed them on USB sticks, I think. I thought I read that somewhere, that you could get the soundtrack, but it wasn't on CD because it would be like 50 CDs or something like that. So they actually distributed them on a USB stick, or they only distributed it digitally or something like that. Dark to See does say that, note that the soundtrack can be played in portable mode like an MP3 player, so definitely a nice bonus. So you can have your Nintendo Switch in the pocket and turn off the screen and have your headphones plugged into it because the Switch is not courageous. It still has a headphone jack in it, and then you can listen to it while on the go. It's a rather large MP3 player, but still, yes, it is. So nobody's going to be calling in. So coming up next here at the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do. Hi. And we like to check in with them, see what's going on. Sacramento, you guys there?
We are here, Bobby. How are you?
I am doing well. So welcome back from the holidays and the break.
Thank you. And I was off in Vegas, of course, at FanFest. I know we talked a little bit about that last week, though. Mm-hmm.
So, did you get, you said earlier you've been doing a lot of Pokemoning. What have you been, that's only been one game. You're only playing one game, right?
No, I'm playing three games at a time right now. So here's the deal. Mm-hmm. So there's what they call double AP going on, which is like double experience, basically, in Ingress right now. And Ingress did this big thing where, you know, they released a new version of their gaming client called Ingress Prime. Mm-hmm. And one of the big new features in Prime is that you can start all over. So if you've grinded the way to the highest level you can get to in Ingress, which is 16.
And free two-day shipping.
What? Oh, shut up, because Ingress Prime, shut up. Loki, if you're going to tell a joke, make it a funny joke. But anyway, you can start all over. You can recurse. So it's recursive Travis. No, it's recursive Rob Roberts in Ingress right now. You start at the beginning, and they promise that a recursed agent will get some type of special power later on. So I've been playing that because there's double experience going on that's helped me to grind all the way back to level 8 right now. So I can use all my items.
So you said earlier you weren't going to do this yet.
I guess I lied.
Yeah, because you said you're going to wait and let other people do it.
Oh, you know, I did. I actually did. I didn't do it the very first day. I waited until, because I thought it was a really dumb idea if our entire team did it all at once, because if something really bad happened, like a field went up over the city from the opposing team, like nobody would be able to take it down. But I waited until, I waited about a week until enough agents had recursed their way back to level 8 when I did it myself.
Okay.
So I did kind of, it just didn't take as long as maybe you would have thought. Okay. But anyway, while I've been doing that, I'm using my Pokemon Ball accessory, the Pokemon Go Pokeball accessory. The
Pokeball Plus.
That's it, Pokeball Plus. They all have silly names. So I've been using the Pokeball Plus to actually catch Pokemon while I'm out walking playing Ingress. So I'm tapping my phone, and then every now and then the little ball in my pocket shakes, so I just hit the little button on that and catch Pokemon. And then by doing that, I am also getting credit or experience for my little Pokemon in Pokemon Let's Go, because that's the whole little special thing about the ball, is that you can imprison one of your Pokemon in there, like a Charmander or a Pikachu, and as you walk, as you play Pokemon Go, you get experience for that Pokemon. And especially in the early levels, it's a lot of experience. Yeah. Like, yeah. I got enough experience the first time I went out. Now, granted, I walked quite a bit, but I walked my Bulbasaur, and I think I got my level 5 Bulbasaur to like a level 27 Ivysaur by the time it was done.
Yeah, and also, yeah. One thing to note about the Pokeball Plus is that when you imprison, it's actually got the pedometer in the Pokeball.
Yeah.
So it's not looking at how many steps in Pokemon Go you did. Right. And so you can cheese it like you could the 3DS step counter.
Really?
Yeah, shake it up and down, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm all about cheesing.
We're going to get into it a little later on OLR, but Loki has been playing a lot of Pokemon Let's Go, like more than me, and I thought I was playing a lot. I'm pretty impressed at how dedicated Loki is to this game.
I still only have one gym badge. But I'm also sharing the cartridge with someone else.
That's okay. That's a good excuse.
It better be.
Yeah, Loki and I are a little bit further than you. That's all right, but that's okay. It's not a race.
Yes, it is. To Loki, it is.
So I want to elaborate on something that you said earlier in the show about the whole Twitch move, because I just have to bring this up. I have to tease this a little bit, and I know you're probably going to like blush or maybe wish wouldn't bring this up, but I have to because, you know, with the whole move to Twitch that's coming up, you've been working on some things behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to say it, Bobby. This thing that you're doing, we're like 98-99% sure no other podcast on Twitch is doing. And it's not like it's a huge thing.
It's not.
It'll just be like, oh, that's kind of neat. I haven't seen that before. But like you said something earlier about this whole, like, this is going to be the feature that ends up everybody has 3 years from now.
Yeah.
Like you playing video games in the first place during Friday Night Live is now, like, when you were doing it, it was like, who wants to watch people play games? And now it's like, it's a very common
thing. Who wants to watch, have a camera in the bottom right-hand corner of a face of the person playing the game?
Yeah, video game tournaments, who wants to watch that?
Yeah.
So, I'll just say that, Bobby. It's you've been working hard behind the scenes, and it's pretty, I'm like, really excited to do the first show on Twitch already.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm almost all ready.
I'm not.
Yeah. So we're going to do it together. I'm going to wait. I'm going to hold back.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's going to be great. But it's also, we're not going to leave the audio podcast behind, which is going to be my biggest fear.
Yeah, no. I know there's a lot of people that are like, change, blah. But yeah, again, the podcast will say the podcast. It is still, in our case, Orange Lounge Radio. So we will not be playing up to the camera, if that makes sense. Yeah. So, I mean, that kind of goes both ways. Like, if you're tuning into Twitch to expect to see a TV show, you're going to be disappointed.
No, and what Rob's also talking about is something that won't affect, and you probably won't even notice it on the audio podcast. You wouldn't notice on the audio podcast.
You only no, and it's totally fine. Like it'll make sense. Like I sorry to be so vague. I probably shouldn't have even brought it up, but I'm just so excited, Bobby. I can't help it.
Yeah. Tireclaw says soon going to be Orange Lounge TV.
No. Wrong statement. I want that out of people's heads right now. Take that back. It is Orange Lounge Radio.
We just like Howard Stern's radio show is still a radio show. It's just you can watch it. You used to be able to watch it on E! Or whatever.
That's honestly a great comparison. Or even, I mean, if you want to do like the Hey-O throwback in some ways, I mean, the whole like G4 TV, right? When that was actually a show. Now, I understand they did end up playing it up for TV a little bit. But I mean, the original concept was kind of like their radio show that what they used to do on, you followed that stuff longer than I did, Pseudo or whatever that was called.
Yeah.
It's kind of like
yeah.
that, but on TV, right? So.
Yeah. But also, you see this in sports a lot is, you know, like a lot of the sports like ESPN and stuff, they actually air the radio shows that some of their personalities do, and it's basically it's just the two guys sitting at a desk, and yeah. maybe the desk is decorated, mm-hmm. and you know they're just talking into a big huge microphone and just talking to callers,
yeah,
and that's basically what we're going for,
yeah. But there's going to be things that will make it special on both ends, I really think, and
like
I think
I'm going to be eating sandwiches,
yeah.
You know, see Logie's food every week. I really think and I know a lot of the podcast listeners are like, change. But like, seriously, like I really can't stress enough how much the Shoutcast and audio platform that we're using today is stagnating. I mean, look at our chat room. I mean, we love you guys dearly. You guys have shown up here every week for years and years for both Bobby and, you know, what we're doing on OLR. But you've probably noticed how many new faces have come in the past 6 months. Maybe one or two here and there. I don't want to discount everybody. I mean, one or two come in here and there, but it's really not a lot. And so we really think this is going to be the right move to get people to find these shows and participate.
Yeah. Yeah. And also we can see the check-ins, and we know less people are checking in, which was already a small percentage of the people that were actually listening.
Yeah.
But there's less people there. Mm-hmm. Than there were when we started. And you know what? Internet radio and Shoutcast, the way we've been doing it, was great in 2012. It was the right answer then when we launched VOG Network.
Absolutely.
It's 2018.
And it's hard to let it go now, Bobby.
Yeah.
It's like my Windows XP computer here.
Yeah.
Like, with all this, I'm going to finally have to let this Windows XP thing go. And you know how much that pains me, Bobby.
I'm going to have to let Windows 7 go, finally.
It hurts. It hurts. Wait till you guys hear about the change. I'm not going to say everything. Wait. We're making a big change. And I know at least one person is going to be like, what the bleep are you doing?
Yep. And that was me.
No, there's somebody else out there. I already know I'm going to get a text message. It's like, what did you do? Why did you do that?
Yeah.
But I make informed decisions.
Yes.
And that's all I'm going to say.
Tiger Claw says you can call it Orange Lounge Radio and Video.
Oh, it's Orange Lounge Radio. I appreciate Tiger Claw's enthusiasm, and I don't want to make it sound like I'm like slamming him or anything. I'm really not. I appreciate the enthusiasm, but it is Orange Lounge Radio. There will be visual enhancements.
Yes.
Like, sure, a lot of you have guessed, oh, when they talk about the classic game of the week, they'll probably play a video of the classic game of the week. You're right. That's a very like logical thing to do, and we probably will do that. I can't guarantee that's going to be in place week one. Week one is like don't. Like get the audio delivered on Twitch and have your podcast as you always do. That is the goal week one. Anything beyond that is an enhancement.
Yep. Yep. So that's in 3 weeks, maybe. We don't want to go be hard on that number, but you said it, so I'm going to repeat it.
That's what I'm projecting right now based on our current trajectory. It's my fault. I'm the holdup. But in my defense, I have not been able to spend large amounts of money all at once because I think I've said this on the show before. My husband's unemployed right now, yeah. So we're just, you know, we're doing okay. I'm still employed and enjoying my job, but you know, we just have to plan a little better. That's all.
So that's in a couple of weeks. But tonight,
yes.
You're here.
We are here.
What are you going to be talking about tonight?
doing the same old audio thing we're used to. So we missed a lot of news while we were out. So we're going to, since it was a holiday week, we're going to kind of retrack some of the stuff from last week. So some of you might hear a repeat from Bobby's show, such as things like Sony not attending E3 next year. You know, we're all dying to know what Loki thinks of that. So we'll get into that as well. But there is some stuff that's come up in the past week, such as Steam Link has apparently faded into the sunset. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And No Man's Sky, another update, a big Thanksgiving update for No Man's Sky. It's the game that just won't stop updating, and that's really not a bad thing.
Yep. All right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night here on the Voice of Geeks Network at fognetwork.com, internet radio, on TuneIn and Winamp and iTunes and wherever you listen to internet radio streams, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, here on Sunday nights, vognetwork.com. Catch us live and interact with the show directly. Leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper if you're using the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1. You can email me an MP3 to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf or Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf is where you can reach us, or twitch.tv/BobbyBlackWolf. That's also me. Or you can submit feedback on the episode pages at vognetwork.com. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the wonderful chatters, Dark Titsia, DC Nade, Rob Roberts, VHJ6V, Fifth Dream, Tiger Claw, Alt, Bold, Dungeon Buster, Erratic, Food Coma Man, that's Breakman, JD, Kaijudo, Elam Orchard, Loki, MXE, She-Hulk, Spiffy, SJ100 Matt, and VidPower. I'm going to be out of here 1.5 more weeks till Smash Brothers Ultimate. That's kind of exciting. It's that long till the soundtrack. That's what I'm waiting for. See you guys next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.